Hey guys, welcome back to the Goat Network. I'm here with Monica Teske. Monica, welcome in.
Hey, I'm glad to be on. I'm ready to get going.
We're going to see if Cooper also is ready to get going, because last episode, Coop was an unsung hero. He had a lot of stark opinions, and some people were even calling him the Skip Barkless of the podcast, and I really think that's probably accurate.
He was really loud, especially when you're talking about the Chiefs. I've raised Cooper to be a Broncos fan.
So yes. And
you got to stop praising the Chiefs.
He is ready for a life of suffering. That is for sure. That and being a Steelers fan, you know, they go hand in hand. So I know all too well. Monica, today is Wednesday, which is our prospects on the rise. And I'm going to do two things today. Okay. First, I need to make sure, I think I took a screenshot of this. I'm going to have to look for it when it happened, make sure I've got it.
Really ready to hear your prospects on the rise, because there's been some prospects that everybody's talking about, but I'm very interested to see if you have some people that maybe we're not hearing about as much.
Yeah. They're on the rise, but I think for the wrong reason.
Okay.
For example, I have to put an asterisk on this particular episode. I can't tell you who I think is really on the rise or not because of the first thing I've got to talk about. The NFL Combine is a waste. It is almost a garbage event at this point. And if you don't know why I'm saying that, let me just point out this. The top three quarterbacks who are projected possibly even as the top three overall picks sat out of the combine. Didn't do nothing but interviews. So no drills, no running, no 40-yard dashing, nothing. DoorDash drivers dashed more that day than these three picks did. And this problem is not like last year, according to this one article, and I'll put it in the show notes. This is NBCMiami.com, so South Florida. Last year, the top two quarterbacks that people were talking about, C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson, participated. But not just quarterbacks sat out for this either. Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers, Brock Bowers, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Cooper DeJean. All of these guys either chose to sit out willingly or were forced to skip due to injuries. And this is my question. Then you factor in the guys that got hurt. Amarius Mims during the combine said he felt something pop with his hamstring. Why are we doing this to them? They have a pro day for a reason.
Right.
We do this event, and I'm not even really sure why we do it, other than it's another opportunity for the NFL to cover something about the league, because they know there's nothing going on and they got to do something. But with all these pro days, these NFL athletes-to-be have figured out, you know what? We don't have to do both. And then there was a video that went viral, and I don't know if you saw it, but that video was, I believe, J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix Jr., I think, throwing the football in the hotel hallway.
Yes, yes.
And they won't even throw on the field. But they went to a hallway with some of the prospects that were participating and did it. And then there was Sam Hartman running with the wide receivers as a quarterback, because there weren't any quarterbacks that were really running with him. Spencer Rattler running as well with another group of people. If you were to talk about winners and losers, you could say this. Who's on the rise? maybe the guys that participated got a little bit of an edge because the teams, I think, that value this event will look at them and say, we're really glad that you're here and that you did this. But I don't think Michael Penix Jr. and Joe Milton, some of the people this article is talking about, were good enough to really make it a massive difference.
No.
And that they did something where some team will say, well, now they're number one on our board instead of Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels. So that's the first rant that I've got. What do you have to say about the NFL Combine, the participation or lack thereof, before we move on to the second reason why one of the people I'm going to talk about who's on the rise should terrify us?
Okay, so I think last year I kind of voiced my dislike of the Combine. What I don't understand is what correlation is there supposed to be between Combine results and success in the NFL? Is there a correlation? Because this is not game speed. Like, you see these guys with these crazy 40s. When on earth are you going to see what was that one? I think it was a Marius Mims who did almost a 5 even on the 40-yard dash. How many times in gameplay is a Marius Mims going to need to dash 40 yards?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, who cares? Because yeah. That does not tell me anything about how he is going to play. And I wonder why we pay so much attention to this. Because at least in my head, I don't see the correlation. I don't get it.
And that, I think that's what bothers me, is most of the drills don't matter. And right. Most of it probably has to do with, can you follow directions? Because I think a lot of the drills they do are just what they do in practice to improve right. quickness, improve speed, but not, I don't think anything of like massive note is necessary for that. You know, I don't know.
And honestly, like the only clip that I saw from the Combine that impressed me was Rome Odunze from Washington, mm-hmm. how they were trying to clear up the field and he would not stop doing the 3-cone until he got a sub 6.6.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, I don't care what he got on his 3-cone. And I don't think anyone really cares what he got on his 3-cone, because he is such a good talent. But I think what jumped out to me was the fact that he was such a hard worker. And yeah. I really think that's probably the only clip that I saw where I thought, okay, yeah, he may have done something to his draft stock based on something that happened at the Combine.
Well, and here's the next thing I want to talk about. The 40-yard dash is stupid.
I agree.
I think that we need to be terrified of anybody who breaks the record of being the fastest player ever. And this will be the year where I'm wrong, and we're going to talk about him. I'm currently pulling up all of the people that are actually worthy of talking about when it comes to 40-yard dash, you know, record holders. Here's the first couple of things I want you to know. This past time that the Combine was held, the record was broken. Prior to that, the record had been broken by John Ross. 4.22 was what he ran. Xavier Worthy ran a 4.25, and everybody was like, whoa, that's really fast. That's impressive. That's awesome. Then he ran a second one, because for some reason, you get two attempts. Still not sure what the mindset is behind the two attempts, because if I remember correctly, they keep the second attempt, not the first one. So in theory, you could do better in the first one than you do in the second one. And if I'm wrong, I'm happy to be wrong here, but if I heard correctly, it's they keep the last one that you do. So if you ran a 4.20 in the first one and then a 4.33 in the second one, I don't think they keep the best time, do they?
I did not watch it, so I'm not sure. But I'm not sure. I feel like they should keep the best one. Like if you got like a 4.18, like yeah. They should keep the 4.18.
Well, let's work our way backwards to whoever it was that broke the record this year. I'm not saying his name yet. I have it, but I'm not saying it. Stanford Route ran a 4.27 back during, I'm assuming, the 2005 NFL Combine. Ended up making him a second-round pick for the Oakland Raiders. I want you to kind of think about that, too, because Oakland's often been the people who have drafted these guys.
I'll say, Oakland, what was their old owner's name? Al Davis. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever the Raiders drafted Henry Ruggs, you know, there was everyone saying, you know, he's the perfect Al Davis wide receiver because he is blazing fast. And that's it. That's the only thing he cared about.
So here are the stats for Stanford Route, okay? He played 117 career games over a 7-year career. He had 225 tackles, 2 forced fumbles, 55 passes defended, and 12 interceptions. Decent.
Didn't get a lot of play time. I mean,
but not a lot to write home about, right? He scored 1 career touchdown.
Wow.
And that was in 2010, where I'm assuming he took a pick all the way back. So that's Stanford Route. He ran a 4.27. Monica, the guy you just mentioned a second ago, though, tied him, and there's actually a 3-way tie for a 4.27. Henry Ruggs ran a 4.27 and was drafted in the first round by
the Raiders.
Obviously, I'm not going to bring up Ruggs' career statistics. His career was cut short because of a very foolish decision that he made that cost the life of somebody, and he's serving jail time now for that. So I'm not going to say anything more than he ran a 4.27 and got overdrafted. Wasn't he the first receiver taken?
The first receiver picked over CD Lamb, over Jerry Jeudy, over there was a few others. That was a pretty good receiver class.
Yep. Goodness. That was the Justin Jefferson draft, right?
I think so. Jefferson went to the Vikings late in the first in that.
Jalen Reagor went before him. Yeah, that 2020.
The Eagles, yep.
I think.
I think that's right.
Okay. The next guy on the list is Marquise Goodwin, who ran a 4.27. And he was drafted by the Bills.
Raiders?
Yeah, not the Raiders. He still currently plays in the NFL, if I have seen this correctly. 13 years later, played with Cleveland this year, caught 4 passes for 67 yards. His career stats over a 10-year span, 191 receptions, 3,090 yards, 18 touchdowns. Basically, he averages. No, I mean, he averages what, 19 receptions a season?
And 300 yards. I mean,
his first three years, he only had 20 catches. He had 17 as a rookie, 1 as a second year player, and then 2 as a third year player. Now, he might have been hurt for some of those. I don't know all the details on that, but even still, his best season came in 2017, where he caught 56 passes for 962 yards and 2 touchdowns.
That's
it. Then, my favorite, Dree Archer. Good old Dree Archer.
This is the first one I haven't heard of.
Oh, you don't remember Dree Archer, Monica? You have to know who Dree Archer is. He played for Pittsburgh. He played for the Steelers, went to Kent State, ran a 4.26 at the Combine, and we drafted him. He was a running back, okay? If I remember correctly, he was like 5'6 and 190-something pounds soaking wet.
Well, that's how he can run so fast, because he's tiny.
Exactly. He played in the NFL for 2 years. 2 years, Monica, he played with the Steelers and played a total of 20 games, I guess. No, 12. I think it's 12. 12 total games. He was on the roster for 8 for the Steelers in 2015, but he didn't play any. He didn't. Just okay. Blazing fast guy, right? Had 10 carries, 40 yards. 4 yards a carry. 2 first downs, a long of 15 yards. So, really, 9.
That's like Najee Harris.
9 carries.
Long.
9 carries, 25 yards is what he had on the other carries.
That then, sounds like Najee Harris career long type numbers.
He had 7 receptions off of 10 targets for 23 yards and a long of 15. So he had 17 total touches, 63 yards, 30 of which were on 2 plays.
Okay.
He was a kickoff specialist, though. So hear this out.
Can he had 23 attempts. Real quick?
I gotta tell you this first because okay. I haven't gotten to the most shocking thing about it yet.
Okay.
He was a kickoff specialist, really. He had over 23 attempts to return kicks, 14 of those in 2015, 9 in 2014. 515 yards. So not terrible.
No.
354 of that came off the 14 attempts in 2015, long of 38. In 2014, he had 9 for 161, a long of 23. Monica, how many touchdowns do you think Dre Archer scored in his career with the Steelers and in the NFL?
I'm going to be what I think sounds really generous and say 2.
That's 2 more than he scored in the NFL. He didn't score a single touchdown. And we drafted him in the 3rd round, pick 97 overall. And I remember when we drafted him, all they were talking about was he ran a 4.26. He ran a 4.26. And I was thinking, okay, but they kept comparing him to Chris Johnson, who we're going to get to in just a second. Nowhere near Chris Johnson. And when I bring up Chris Johnson statistics, y'all are all going to be crying. You're going to be laughing so hard. What do you need to say now about Dre Archer? Because I get angry when I talk about this guy.
Okay, so what I don't understand, 4.26 is not going to do you any good if you don't have time to get up to 4.26.
Correct.
That's just what I was thinking, listening to how much or how little he would average.
Yep.
All right.
By the way, the next player on the list is technically Tariq Woolen, but he's only been playing 2 seasons. I don't feel like it's fair for us to try to judge him at this point in his career off of his career statistics. However, he did get benched last year at one point. Even though he had a really tremendous rookie season, he got benched. So I digress. Chris Johnson ran a 4.24, and for the longest time, that record held. Mm-hmm. Because he broke Stanford route in 2005. He broke that in 2008. He was drafted first round, 24 overall in Tennessee. Monica, did he, number one, play for longer than 3 seasons? Number two, was he considered a good running back for longer than just his rookie contract, if he did play longer than 3 seasons? And number three, how many career yards do you think he had rushing the ball?
Okay, so that was 2008, was a long time ago.
Right.
I'm trying to remember from just what I remember about 16 years ago. Wow. Chris Johnson was more than a flash in the pan, but not that much more. So I honestly don't really remember. I'm going to say he probably had 4 years. That's just going to be my guess. 4 years of success. And I'm going to say he got, oof, I don't know, in that Titans offense. Did he get 7,500 yards?
Let me pull up the calculator so I can give you the exact number. Because he played for three different teams in his career. Mm-hmm. He played for the Tennessee Titans,
mm-hmm.
the New York Jets for one season, and then the Arizona Cardinals for three seasons. So let me total up what he did.
I'll say I don't remember him past his time with the Jets. That's kind of where my memory of Chris Johnson ends. Because I knew the first two, but I couldn't have told you the Cardinals. Had no clue.
Okay, so you are correct that he was kind of a flash in the pan, but you are incorrect on how many seasons he was successful. His numbers are inflated for sure because in his second season in the NFL, he had a 2,000-yard effort, 14 touchdowns.
I'll say I remember him having one really good season.
Yeah, long of 91 on that season, which is not his longest in his career. He had a 94-yarder in 2012, but still, he was phenomenal in 2009. Had 2,006 yards rushing, 14 touchdowns on 358 carries. He had 1,000 yards rushing in all six of the seasons he played with Tennessee, at least. He had two that were just right around hovering over 1,000 yards, 1,047 in 2011, 1,077 in his last season with Tennessee in 2013. But he had at least 1,200 yards or more in the other four seasons. 2012, wow, he had 1,200 yards.
More than my guess.
Mm-hmm. 2010, 1,300. 2009, of course, 2,000. And 2008, he had 1,200. Putting his career total at 7,965. Now, 7,965 is still not terrible what he did his last three or his last 4 years in the NFL. He still had 1,686 yards rushing, and he had a total of five touchdowns over his last 4 years in the NFL. He stopped playing in 2017, so 7 years ago. He's the best player on this entire list because not only did he do really, really well running the ball, but when he was in Tennessee, he was also not a terrible pass catcher.
I was going to say, I remember him being a dual threat guy.
Yeah, he had 43 receptions his rookie season for 260 yards and a touchdown, 50 in his second season for 503 yards. So he had 2,500 yards in his second season and 16 total touchdowns. He had 44, 57, 36, 42, 24 before he moved over to Arizona, and they just never used him like this. He had six catches, and then he had five catches his last year. He's the best name on the list, okay? Kalen Barnes is the next guy on the list. Drafted 2022, seventh round pick, 242 overall. He ran a 4.3.
He wouldn't have even picked up and undrafted if he didn't run that.
He ran a 4.23. He is no longer a starter. He's with the Steelers as of right now, but not in any type of starting capacity. Which brings us to John Ross. And John Ross is famous for being one of the best NFL receivers ever. Right, Monica?
Oh.
Okay. Here we go. He ran a 4.22 in the 2016-17 combine, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Broke Chris Johnson's record, which had stood the test of time at that point for over 9 years. Finally broke it. He had a total in his career of 62 receptions for 957 yards and 11 touchdowns, seven of which came in his rookie or his second season on 21 receptions for 210 total yards and seven touchdowns. He was a massive bust. And all of these others have pretty much been as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings us to Xavier Worthy, who by a tenth of a second, not even a tenth of a second, a hundredth of a second, he ran a 4.21 this past week. And everybody's talking about Xavier Worthy being on the rise and on the rise, and he's going to be a great wide receiver. He's going to be so phenomenal. I think he's going to be a bust now because none of these other names outside of Chris Johnson were any good. And none of these other names outside of Chris Johnson and John Ross were first-round picks even. But John Ross went ninth overall to the Cincinnati Bengals in 2017 and just was awful. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it.
I'm trying to remember. It's been a couple of years, but wasn't John Ross compared to Tyreek Hill in the moment?
That sounds like it's possible.
Because Tyreek Hill had, a 4.28 or something, and they're like, oh, is this going to be, the next Cheetah? I'm trying to remember, because that was – I remember that being a huge deal, but I didn't understand why.
Yeah, I don't know. So that's my cynical take on the combine and the prospects that are on the rise. Will we see a change in my mock draft on Friday? Probably. Does that mean, though, that I actually think that these candidates and these players I'm going to put in the first 32, slots deserve to be there? Definitely not. But I think some teams are going to mess around and they're going to find out that they shouldn't do it. By the way, Russell Wilson is currently free to talk to any prospective team about signing him. Just found that out. Just popped through. So, Monica, you have anything else you want to add to this specific episode before we move on? Prospects on the rise and who's not? I guess you could make the statement that the prospects that are on the rise is that tight end that caught that extra pass when he thought the drill was over and was trying to run up field and then snagged a one-handed catch while he was still holding another football and then ran and finished the route that way. But I don't really know. I felt myself this year feeling more and more cynical when it came to the combine.
Yeah. Okay, so I just looked up John Ross's college stats. Do you want to know how many total yards he had?
Sure.
445 receiving yards over his career.
And how many years was that?
Three.
Oh, that does
in
hard.
In college. 445 over his career, and the Bengals drafted him ninth because he could run fast.
By the way, his best season was 56 targets. He had 28 receptions that year, and he had 506 yards and three total touchdowns. Along of 66.
What good is the speed if you can't catch?
And I think that's what people don't understand. The 40-yard dash is one of the most inflated drills because, no, you're never going to be running up to 40 yards at a time unless you're a wide receiver trying and a cornerback trying to streak downfield. I don't know. Maybe the three-cone drill is the best drill because it actually measures the speed from one location to another and your quickness. But even that, I don't know.
What's it called where they get the ball thrown at them as they turn? That's the gauntlet, right?
Yeah.
I like that one. I think that one's pretty entertaining.
I've watched that one pretty much every year with the wide receivers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I really like that one, but that's about it.
I guess what we're going to do is just come back tomorrow, and I'm going to give you, it's Fantasy Football Thursday tomorrow, and I'm going to give you my top 10 quarterbacks and running backs. And I'm very excited to do that. And then on Friday, we'll have our second mock draft of the offseason. Monica, you got anything else to say?
Nope. Ready to go. Right.
Till then, take care.